T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Show and Vern, brought to you by absolutely no one.
Now, don't figure it out.
We tried to push it,
right?
But hold on, do you feel the music, though?
I wish I had the Fu Manchu.
I don't know. When we started this music, how do you not know who NWO is?
I know of them, but I departed from the wrestling game prior to that. Once I realized it fake, I tossed up the deuces.
You know what time it is. Hey!
Show, good morning. We have to begin. Tiger Woods' best finish in a major since 2011. He finishes tied for sixth. He's taking the blame. It wasn't a win.
Well, I made a few mistakes there. I drove in the rough with, you know, 2 3-irons there at 11 and 12. The grass grabbed the shaft on both of them. And, you know, I made a couple mistakes, on 11 around the green.
That's nice of him to take the blame like that, even though we know where it lies.
This is our first show.
Right.
And you're not going to try to do this to me. You either, Serta. You all did. Listen, this is not my fault. That much.
Because Tiger's one of your podium guys.
Yes, he is on the medal stand, just sneaking in over Cody Bellinger. But I've had some missteps in things I've said. This is not one of I was a little nervous yesterday. I was in church watching the British Open, and I got excited, and I took a photo.
Can we rewind that real quick?
I'm sorry. This is not – you're going to try to put this on me. This is easily not my fault.
So you're with the family? You got both kids there?
They weren't with me.
Okay, good. Well, I hope you're not setting that example right out of the gate, that we can sit here in mass on
Tiger's
the Sabbath.
Different. Tiger's different.
So you have the video streaming on the phone while Pastor's up there doing his thing.
We were at altar call is where we were when it happened. I took the photo, and I love Tiger, and I had to watch it. Now, I went to church, okay? I knew this was good. I went to church, and I was just watching it. And then I felt like because I went to church and was watching it, it all turned around. Now I realized after I took the photo of myself in church that it went to hell in a handbasket.
Because you took the photo as he moved into the lead after
the lead.
11, right?
Yeah,
7 under par.
Yeah. Yeah, he took the lead over Speed. And then
he takes the lead. You snap the pic with the church windows in the background. You tweet it out. You got a big old grin on your face.
This was the. People keep trying to blame me for things. The Sal Perez thing, I still don't believe that was my fault. I think that was coincidence. This one, I even got a bit nervous myself. I was looking around to see if anyone saw me. I was on pins and needles. Okay? Now, don't put this. Maybe it was Tiger who messed up, maybe it was Tiger's drives. Maybe it's Tiger who got two. When the last time Tiger is leading on the back nine of a major and then he blows it? Don't put this on me. It's Tiger.
Yeah. Here's the bottom line. Look, if you are one to believe in a higher power, as you obviously do, spending your Sunday morning praising the Lord.
I really was.
If you are in the house of worship.
That Metropolitan Choir was singing too.
Well, then you damn sure better not be worshiping anybody other than the big man upstairs. And when you sit in his house and live stream NBCSports.com, there is no surprise on my behalf that Tiger Woods was forsaken by Ron the Show Hughes.
Yeah, many people on Twitter tried to say this is the Lord getting back at you.
Right.
I don't believe. Stop this from the 620 or the Pepper Check Grill famous Philly text line. Show Jinx hit Tiger. No, it did not. That was not my fault. I was watching Rory too. He came on like gangbusters.
See, I'm surprised you have this attitude right out of the gate. Look, if if you acknowledge the higher power, you have to acknowledge his ability to puppet master.
So you think he was trying to get at me?
To me, it's just very evident. It's very obvious. It's something to me that I'm surprised you're not able to connect the dots on. This seems like something you should openly wear.
There's no need to run from it. There's no dots to connect.
Tiger Woods had the golf world and the sports world on the edge of his seat as he moved to 7 under par and moved into a tie for the third major of the season, trying to win his first major in a decade. You decide to snap a picture while celebrating the Lord.
I really don't like what you're trying to do.
I'm not trying to do anything. No, that's the problem.
I don't like what you're trying to do on our first show. All right? It's not my fault, okay? And I'm not going to take this. Hey, it's on you, Ron. You keep doing it. You have this jinx. I'm not. You're not about to put me on some sort of a jinx. This is not me. This is not me. Tiger messed up, okay? We should be happy that he finished in the top six or whatever he finished in. That's what we should be happy about. Don't put this on me. So you're basically saying if I wasn't at church snapping pictures in that pew right before Moments of Power, that Tiger would have won.
I don't know. Possibly, yes. His chances were better when God was on his side.
So you're saying God jumped ship?
God turned his back on him.
Shut up.
Well, first of all, if we want to go in the Wayback Machine, Eldrick turned his back on the big man upstairs quite early when he spit in the face of those Ten Commandments so openly.
Yes, go put that on me when he was with those young ladies at that Waffle House. That was on him. I'm not going to let this happen. I don't like this. Okay, I think someone's now saying that the Nancy Kerrigan thing was my fault. Now, come on now. That was a 94. That is not my fault.
Didn't it happen on a Sunday?
Shut up. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to allow you to put this on me or any of the listeners out here. This is the first
segment. I'm trying to turn the people against you right out of the game.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not. This is the first segment of Show and Verd, and you guys are not about to handcuff me with some sort of show jinx. It is not true. It is not. I will not accept this as my fault.
Well, in the infancy maybe stages
Sal Perez
of this
can't
show.
Walk. Maybe so. No, don't put Ron Picadef. Stop this. Sir, are you texting?
Probably trying to get off the show, trying to get away from you, to be quite honest.
Yes.
He had a good thing going. The show is announced. The first real movement you make on social media is the downfall of everyone's favorite golfer. Pulling the ripcord right now doesn't seem like a bad idea.
Serta's putting his car accident on me.
We'll ask Dayton Moore about this. Royals general manager going to join us in studio coming up at 11 a.m. We'll head up to St. Joe, hear from Andy Reid and a few members of the Chiefs as they addressed the media yesterday. They did just that, Patrick Mahomes included. And he was asked about his jorts, his wardrobe that he has showcased throughout this offseason, and if he has people that he relies upon for fashion advice.
That's more my own decisions. I might ask a buddy or two if they like what I'm wearing or something like that. But it's more me just kind of picking out what I want to wear and just being myself.
Now, first of all, what's so funny?
I just am never going to get used to his voice.
I agree with you.
This is going to be an every Sunday thing. Monday. We have got to do.
That's more my.
I'm just never going to get used to that. It just makes me laugh every time. And first off, Vern hit us with this.
That's more my own decisions. I might ask a buddy or two if they like what I'm wearing or something like that. But
I've never done that.
I know you did. Doesn't he sound like he farts hard when you hear him? Play it again. Doesn't it sound like he farts hard?
That's more my own decisions. I might ask a buddy or two if they like what I'm wearing or something like that. But it's more me just kind of picking out what I want to wear and just being myself.
Patrick sounds like he makes some sort of a voice, some sort of a sound effect, like when he lets it.
That's more my own decisions.
That's what his voice sounds like. His voice sounds like the grunt.
You're alive from the pit of hell. Seriously. No, I'm from the pit of hell. You're talking about me. Yeah. And such, you're alive.
You should know about hell.
There is not a person in here listening to this brand new. There's not a person listening right now, on whatever way they're listening, who has not, and I don't care, female, male, black, white, whatever, animals, none of them. No one has ever not gone out and just said to one of their friends, one of their sisters, one of their brothers, one of their boys, one of their homegirls.
Why would I lie about this?
Hey, is this cool? No, what are you talking about?
I have never been ready to go out and ask another man, and this isn't a guy thing or me trying to be a macho. Well, it's not. I've never stood there and asked someone, hey, does this look good? Should I rock this?
Who doesn't do that? That is, you're not a human.
I've asked for permission from my fiance, but I'm talking about going out with the fellas, getting after it back in the day. No, I have never asked someone, how does this look?
And that's probably why you was out there looking crazy. Like today, you probably should ask somebody with all this taco meat floating through this polo.
Well, you gotta let them know every once in a while.
No, that is, you're not human. That's like saying someone, hey, what kind of music do you listen to? I don't listen to music. That's not human. What do you
there
mean?
There is
you've
no
never
comparison between the two. I've never asked another guy, how does this outfit look? I don't know why that's strange.
How is that possible?
First of all, I don't take many risks, clothing-wise. It's your routine polo and some old.
So you're just that confident in your out. You have never.
No, I've just never really cared that much. I know I don't have a lot going on. So here it is. This is what I got. Here's the shirt. Here's some shorts. No, I have never stood there and asked another man, "How's this look, man? Is this all right? Is this cute?"
So you now you're taking it to a place where is this cute? No, man, you ain't never gone to an event where you dress up. Hey, man, is this tie work? Is this tie cool?
Can you straighten it up? Sure, I've done that.
Is this like
but looking for
permission. What do you think about these shoes with this outfit?
Looking for permission, I've never done it. How often have you done it?
Back in the day? Back at Missouri Western? Back at Middle Tennessee? We about to go out? Hey. Listen, especially a guy who's, you know, as I like to call myself, you know, slightly overweight.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, big folks, you know, sometimes can get into what I call shirt size denial. Sometimes, you know, hey man, this is a tight 2X. Is this working or should I go with a different size?
If you haven't noticed, I don't fall victim to that same issue.
Shut up. But you do. Some people wear, like, you think these holes in the jeans is too much?
Never been there.
Like right now,
never
like
worn
right
jeans
now,
with holes
probably,
in them.
Like right now, you've probably gone out looking crazy. When you should have had a friend there that said, hey man, you might want to button that button. You got too much.
Are you telling me this right now, or is this on the air?
Yeah, I'm telling you this as a friend. You might want to come up. That's a little too much taco meat that's rolling through here. Now, I just don't believe you. Like, and it's not a guy thing. It's not a cute. Serta's done it. Every person listening, if you're someone out there,
I'm just more confident.
You're not human.
I'm just a little bit more confident than the average man.
You just said you're not confident. You just said you don't even care about your wardrobe. By the way, summer, fall, winter, spring. If you hadn't gotten this, allow me to reintroduce us. This is Show and Vern every day. Doesn't he sound like he farts hard when you hear him?
Show and Vern from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, coming up, Andy Reid. We expect to have him around 10:30 or so, live from training camp in St. Joe. And also, don't forget your chance at 10:30 to win $1,000 with our national cash contest. So hang in there with that.
Welcoming Josh Hader back to Miller Park.
That's a standing ovation for all-star reliever Josh Hader of the Milwaukee Brewers. Just a handful of days after homophobic and racist tweets from 7 years ago, Hader, now 24, sent out some racist and homophobic tweets when he was 17. They came to light during the All-Star break. That right there was the ovation that the Brewers faithful gave him when he made his first appearance on a big league field since those tweets came to light.
I'm very, very uncomfortable with the standing ovation with this situation. But that's not really the angle or the place that I want to go to it. Because, listen, I'm going to get this right off the top. That was not the response that I think was probably the response that should have been given. No, standing ovation. Like, you know, maybe there's some people who have compassion. Hell, be honest, I'll get to it more. I think I have some compassion. But the standing ovation, that was not the response. Where I want to go with this here, though, Vern, is it is, and I've just got to be honest. Like, we get to a place here today where there is no effort or chance to have growth, right? There's no, like, especially when it comes to race, okay? There's an ability to have growth. Now, let me just be real. We can have growth with Tyreek Hill by week three. We're celebrating him at Arrowhead, getting him a standing ovation after he beat the hell out of the mother of his child. We can have growth from that. And I'm not even trying to, you know, crush Tyreek. I'm happy that he's shown growth from that. But we are able to allow to have growth of the guy kicking the ass of a woman. But when it comes to race, it doesn't feel like we could do that, Vern. Like, if you say the N-word or you are something involved in a racism, we're done with you. We'll throw you out. We don't even believe that there is a chance for growth. You're always racist. You're just David Duke forever. And in this situation, I don't think there should have been a standing ovation. But when I look at the Josh Hader situation, he could be an American dream of what we want to happen. Okay, now he could be the most racist person ever. He could still be exactly what he tweeted out, the KKK stuff, the white. He could still be that guy. Or he could at 17 have grown, and I'm not saying 17 is age. He knows what he was doing at 17. I'm saying he could have grown and become a different person and become a person who's learned from being older and experiencing life. And maybe he isn't that person anymore. But because it's race, we can never give him the benefit of growth like we would do Tyreek Hill, who beat up somebody.
I think race and homophobic slurs, both
I'm
of
with
those
you on that.
Fall into that category. And it's something that we've actually discussed in the past when talking about, I think Roseanne came up in a conversation where the moment you do something that is obviously wrong, and when what Hader tweeted out 7 years ago, obviously
we
wrong.
We agree on that.
But we want you just to go away. We don't want an explanation. We're not even interested, apparently, in recovery or seeing you learn from your mistakes and become a better person. I've never understood how this divide got into society to where the moment you slip up, now you must go away. Roseanne, you got to go away. We don't want to see you or hear you ever again. Kramer, after what he did at the comedy club, he went away. He wasn't allowed to work. I'm not trying to condone what they've done, but we have to try and right the ship or explain to them what they did wrong or hear their side of it.
Yeah, what we would want is people to change. My dream would be that David Duke changes. That would be my dream, that David Duke becomes a different person.
Right.
Or anyone that's racist or anything. Like, it is hard for me not to push that because I can see it in my own history. Like, I think there are a lot of black people out here who may have been raised in this way. And I think, because I think about Josh, and I'm wondering, I don't really know his upbringing, but I would say, how the hell could we say this is a person that learned a certain way and was grown and was raised a certain way that we would be surprised that he would act that way? All right. And I'm thinking, well, if that is the case, maybe down the line he would grow from that. I can remember growing up, man, I'll be frank with you. I was thought that, hey, man, you got to, you know, with white people, you kind of have to trust them with I'm just being honest, with a grain of salt, there may be something in the back. I got older, I grew, and I was understanding why I was taught that. Right now, to this day, I would trust Serta with my kids. Now, I don't know you as well, and maybe we'll get there one
day.
Smart move. I don't know. Yeah, but like my neighbors, man, I trust each one of my neighbors. I trust them with my kids. That's not how I would have been 10, 15 years ago because I have grown. Now, like I said, Hader might be a racist pig. This may be really him, and he's been hiding it well. Or hopefully my dream would be that he did grow from it. But we will never give any kind of credence to that. We'll always just look at him as he's a racist forever.
Andy Reid about to step to the podium. We'll head out there coming up in just a moment. But you are right when it comes to Hader, and we heard the reports that when he stood up in front of his teammates, he was openly sobbing. The emotion was evident. His remorse was obvious. That, to me, is reflective of a guy that has made those changes that you talk about. I know me personally. Now, there were certain words that everyone knew my entire life. You don't go there. But as I've grown, there were words that I used when I don't know about 17, but 14, 15, when you're trying to be cool with the guys, that are no longer...
The word gay was not a term of endearment. Right. It was used as a negative thing. Yeah, I've been there.
Right. And even worse words than that, I used them maybe with friends in the past. All right, let's head to Andy Reid. He's at the podium on 610 Sports Radio.
A lot of individual coaching. We have two D linemen, so we're getting a lot of personal coaching. Linebackers, we've got three outside guys, three inside guys, so they're not a whole lot of bodies out there. But we were able to get some 7-on-7 work in, some teamwork as far as offense separate versus air and defense separate versus air. So, a good starter, especially for some of these guys that Rick talked about. Just getting them back in the flow, I think, is good. Getting the communication part of it set for the quarterbacks is a plus. For the young guys, hearing it one more time, and then they'll get it another time once the veterans get in. So, with that time.
And speaking of the quarterbacks, this camp, you've got one quarterback with 1 year Chiefs experience here. It's so much different than what you've had in the past. What are the challenges?
We have Patrick, who's got the year, but the other guy, we've got two good veteran players that have been in similar offenses, that are sharp guys, true professionals, and then Chad's a young guy. He's a rookie, so he's coming in and learning fast and doing good things there. So I'm happy with that room where they're at right now, as far as that part goes. I'm confident that we'll be okay there. Again, I'm adding in the work that we're going to get done this camp.
You hear so much about Patrick Mahomes. How's it been working with Eddie so far? How is he taking things?
Yeah, I really like him. I've kind of followed his career, followed in college, and then followed it in the NFL. And I like the way he goes about his business. Smart guy. He's been in this role as a backup the last few years. He's also been the starter and been counted on. So he's got a good balance and feel for both of those things. So I think the guys around him have confidence that if he has to get in there, you'll be okay. So.
And you talk a lot about the players like learning the playbook. As far as offensive coordinator goes, Eric Bieniemy, what's different for him in learning that role, seeing how
he's... Yeah, I just joked him out here because he's having to walk around now. He's not coaching the one position and grinding. He gets to grind on everybody. So, that takes a little bit of getting used to, just moving around. But he did a nice job of figuring all that out during the mini camps and that. And he's rolling here, doing a heck of a job.
Sometimes you had like the offensive coordinator. Do you expect Cap to help the quarterbacks a little bit in that department too, or just?
Well, Mike's coaching the quarterbacks. Yeah, Mike will be coaching the quarterbacks, and then Eric's walk around coordinator. And he hits a little bit of everybody. He's my right-hand man, so he and I work together, and I've got full confidence that he can take the offense and roll with it. I just, if I can't make it to something, he can take it and go.
It's Andy Reid exclusively on 610 Sports Radio, Show and Vern.
This and measure this as a success as far as how the group develops over the next 3.5 weeks?
Yeah, well, I've done a couple of these, so it probably a feel of it, and just seeing, I put everything into it. So how do they concentrate when they get tired, and are they still able to perform? Each guy's got kind of his area that he's got to work on. How are they improving in those areas? You measure in these preseason games, which are valuable. How do they do when things are flying a little faster than here and they're live? And and then you balance it all out and kind of go off of a little bit of experience there with them.
A couple more guys. You mentioned before with D, the fact that he was a part of most of the offseason work, to have him back. I know it's one of kind of build him slowly. Is that the plan for this, or do you feel like he's progressed in a way that you can see the majority of work with the rest of the defense?
Yeah, so we brought him up here for this, and we'll just ease him in, and just let's just see how he does. I'm going to go nice and slow communicate with them. We've got good guys, and that's where it helps. The guys will shoot you straight, and they're not trying to get out of something. You know that. They're competitive guys, so just work it out with them.
All
Mark, we're going to go two over here, and we'll finish up over here.
Coach, but we're talking about Eric. You know, we don't seem to be hearing him yell and scream as much as he used to and everything. Is that just part of his new role, or do you think it's going to come when he gets kind of more comfortable?
No, listen closer. that's why he's just not in one spot. He just kind of goes around, and he does, you know, he's teaching. So, and that's the important part, but he's not afraid to voice it, and he does it with everybody. So it doesn't matter who you are, he's gonna let you know.
We haven't seen Mitch Morse at the helmet for a while. Today he's back out there. Is that comforting to know that he's kind of back in Mexico?
Yeah, Mitch's a good football player, so it's good to have him back out there. Again, being able to knock the rust off, I think, is important for him and for us in the long run here. So look forward to getting him in there.
Yeah. Last one. Yeah, you talked yesterday about sort of some of these new guys not having been through it before. When you look at a young guy like Speaks, what would you like to see in terms of him measure as a – how would you like to see him measure what success would be?
I think consistency, and then so when you're young, you might have one move that's your favorite move. In the NFL, they take that away from you. How are you going to counter that? Are you going to work on those things that help counter that that move? And add to the repertoire that you can throw at the offensive lineman, and then work all your fundamentals in the run game, and then he's got the coverage part of that he's got to continue to improve on. He's never had to do that, so, but he's a smart kid, real smart, and he's got a nice feel for the game. So things come relatively easy to him picking it up, and then that demand, that grind. How are you going to handle that throughout this whole camp? That'll be the challenge. So.
All right, thank you guys.
Andy Reid, exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll head back north in just a moment. But first, it's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word AUGUST to 72881. That's AUGUST, AUGUST. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the National Cash Contest. Message and data rates may apply if you like sports and money. 610 Sports Radio is the only place giving you the chance to win up to 12 grand each weekday. Listen on the 30s. Your next chance to win coming up at 11:30 on Show and Vern. Rules at 610sports.com.
Yeah, coming up, we got more players coming up. I think Speaks. I think the very injured, always injured, D. Ford will be there. And
Chad Henne, Michigan man.
Vern. Nobody.
It's such. Oh, it was. It's a terrific signing. A terrific. Terrific backup quarterback.
Vern straight face looked at me before we walked in here. You can't say anything negative. And
he's talking. Throw it to him. Let's go. Chad. Come on, Chad.
Jacksonville and Samuel Hackett a little bit. So terminology is very similar. It's a lot of fun to be in. He has a bright mind. Always trying to think of stuff to get playmakers the ball. But so far, so good.
How do you see that? What kinds of things maybe does he do to...
Who cares?
To show
it's
that
the
creativity.
Backup. Well, I think you have a foundation, and then you base it off the foundation, and then off of that, it's just you can tweak different routes off of those combinations that keep the defense think it's the same route, but then you switch it up a little bit. And I think he's great with that, switching in and week out, and it's been a lot of fun to be in.
How much did system and staff play a role in sort of when you're looking at different situations and where you wanted to end up?
I think definitely system-wise, this is probably my sixth or seventh offense in 11 years. So
probably for a good reason.
There's not many things that are different. I haven't been in the number system yet, but West Coast offense I feel very comfortable in. I felt, I got a lot of things done in that system in Jacksonville, and, I think it's a quarterback-friendly offense. So that's what drew me here, and obviously Coach Reed, he's developed a lot of quarterbacks. So
did you ever see the throw to me. He obviously made to Mario Manningham against Penn State?
No!
What's the dynamic with you guys have, and how you kind of built that relationship with each other since you guys all started getting together?
Yeah, I think every quarterback room I've been a part of has been great, and this is pretty much exactly the same. I mean, Pat's great, young quarterback, bright mind. I just like to be around guys that like to work.
What's
and coming to work, not screwing around all the time. You're there to work. Have fun with it, but really just study the game to help you prepare to play well on Sundays.
That's enough questions.
Show you have a very bad attitude.
How do you
how do you feel?
That's enough questions.
Self-evaluation, just like how you, where you are in your career right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really good. I mean, today's a great, thing to come out here, kind of get the guys going. This is first time I've ever actually done 7-on-7. It's kind of teamwork. We've only done, like, individual in the past, so it's a lot of fun to get, you know, the defense out there and really get your reads down and kind of prepare you to a veteran camp.
Have you noticed any differences yet? Any early differences between Blake and Pat at all? Or just
he is a book of knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, they're young, talented guys. I mean, they're both mobile, strong arms. Pets, I mean, probably one of the stronger arms I've been around. So, he can make every throw, that's for sure.
Would you say the strongest?
Yeah, I put it up there. I mean, I came out with Joe Flacco, so I felt Joe had a great, strong arm. I was around Ryan Mallett for a little bit at Michigan when he was a freshman, kind of those big guys that can really hose it in there. But, I mean, for Pat's size, I mean, I haven't seen anything like it. So it's a lot of fun to be around, but at the same time, it's take what they give you. Not always pumping that thing. You know, it's obviously a threat to have, but, make smart decisions with it as well.
That's your leadership.
It's going to tell Pat, calm down, buddy. You don't need to muscle it through ever. I just want the backup quarterback.
I think it's just really just staying in your books each night. In the offseason, it was just – no really downtime, just trying to stay ahead of the game, and especially with Coach Reed switching it up each and every week, it was a lot of fun to be in. But same time, you got to stay on top, make sure you can spit out the language, make sure you can go over your reads and familiarize yourself with offense.
You talked about being a veteran and understanding that most offenses you can find similarities, but how do you strike the balance between learning what you have to learn for your job, but also being a sounding board, a guider for Pat, because he's mentioned that he's trying to lean on you just as much as preparing himself for his new role.
Yeah, I think you sit back. I mean, especially in the beginning, you kind of let, Coach Reed, the enemy talk, Kafka, all those guys, you let them pretty much teach you the system first. And then once you start getting involved, and obviously there's experiences that I've gone through that you can spit out, but a lot of times you let them teach you first until I become, a master of their offense. Then I can start, emphasizing what I kind of like and what I can help them with.
Is he an advocate for so many different offenses? He works with so many different offensive coordinators and different language and different things like that. You see it as a benefit to come into a room
Big Ten guy, Northwestern.
Talk about what you've done in the past and what things you've had success with.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, 6 or 7 offensive coordinators, I think just going into it, just saying, all right, well, this is similar to this, or we could tweak this, try to help, whatever to help the team out is kind of what I'm here to, evaluate and kind of teach the system as well.
A couple more guys.
So Chad Henne, Chiefs backup quarterback, exclusively on 610 Sports Radio.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I pulled into training camp, and it was tough. My agent texted me and said, Tony passed, and he drafted me. That was his first year, 2008. And I mean, he was a great mentor to me. Owe a lot to him for drafting me. We built a great relationship, great family. Tony Sperano Jr. was with me in Jacksonville last year. So, it's definitely sad to see him pass, but great memories with him and enjoyed my time with him.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Great number 7 right there.
Stop this. That was way
started
too many
as a freshman
questions.
At
was
Michigan.
That 14 questions to the backup quarterback?
I wasn't keeping track. They were all legitimate questions.
Someone else here, text line 816. How can there be this many questions to the backup?
It's football.
Oh,
football's
shut up.
Back.
I'm afraid what they're going to do with the kickers. I'm going to lose it if they're going to do this with the kickers.
We got D Ford coming
and you,
up.
And you're just so excited. I mean, you're just so excited about, Chad Henne.
I hope we never see him on the field, and yet.
If we see Chad Henne,
I'm very
Henne,
excited.
It's over.
That he's going to be in a Chiefs uniform.
Oh, Braylon Speaks, number one, number two, first pick, second round pick. Braylon Speaks is up.
Guys like you coming in, maybe only having one move and having to learn how to counter that and out. Good. How many moves do you have right now?
About 1 or 2. Like Coach said, there's definitely some stuff that I'm gonna be working on, especially with Justin Houston, D Ford. TK, those guys, I think they didn't already brought me up under their wing and already showing me different things. So that'll be an exciting year.
How would you say the transition's going for you?
Is that Chris Jones?
How would you say the transition's going for you?
It's pretty good. Definitely transition dropping. But I put up with the pros and cons of it. I get to rush the passer. So,
yeah.
Hey, I flip my hips all day.
Coach Reed mentioned that you're one of the smarter young guys that he has. What do you think would make him say that? Say calling you smart right away?
I guess probably my ability to pick up the defense. Yeah, it's been a nice transition, like I said earlier, but definitely trying to hone in and learn that, learn a new position. So I want to make sure I know that new position so I stay in my playbook.
You mentioned drops. Coach was talking about the first time in here after dropping the coverage. At any point, at any level, have you been in the past to do pass coverage? Is this a brand new thing
for you? It's not brand new. I played middle linebacker in high school. Then I dropped some this past season at Ole Miss. So it's not brand new, but the volume of it is new, and the amount of times I have to drop is definitely
like
new.
I like when you say brand.
Also, just in terms of responsibilities, is that the hardest part or is that the biggest thing?
Yeah, the responsibility part, definitely. You don't want to be the guy that gives up big plays. So, yeah, it's a big ordeal. Just want to make sure cover my guys, make sure I got my zone covered and whatever else they ask me to do.
With that said, did it change up how you kind of prepared athletically? You feel like the last month you preparing to come to camp to do more things out in space and all that? Just how did you kind of work through that?
Doing DB drills, doing stuff like that, working in sand, working quick feet type things. Definitely not a D lineman anymore, so got to make sure I stay light on my toes. So I definitely did some work this offseason preparing for that.
What excites you most in terms of trying to prove yourself and gain respect from your teammates?
What excites me the most?
Yeah.
Just that. Going out there, earning those guys' respect, earning those guys' comments, and being able to, for those guys being able to say, oh yeah, I want them on the field with me. That makes my day. That's great with me, knowing that veterans want to play with me. That's part of my drive also.
I know Chris Jones.
Breland speaks.
Who's been the guys on the defense?
On 610 Sports Radio, you like that.
Exclusive.
Prepare for this.
Definitely Chris, Justin Houston, D4, TK, basically the whole outside linebacker room, Frank, all those guys, Jarvis Jenkins, those guys, and Reggie, definitely Reggie. Oh. Reggie's been a big guy, making sure that he takes me up under his wing and makes sure I know what I'm doing.
How do you sort of go about attacking, like we talked about, developing more moves, learning, also dropping the coverage? Is it one of those things where you have to sort of focus on one thing at a time, or is it, keep it from being overwhelming when you're trying to do all these different things at the same time?
It's just whatever we're working on, I make sure I'm all the way locked in on it and making sure that I'm giving my best effort so I can build that muscle memory forward, and that way every day gets easier and easier, and before long I'll be doing it without knowing it.
You said all of these guys are taking you under their wings. What's the best piece of advice that you've gotten from them?
Best piece of advice had to be make sure you run for camp this offseason. That was probably the best advice, because I already know it's going to get pretty nasty out here pretty soon. So just preparing myself for that and getting ready for this training camp.
You said make sure you run?
Running routine, how
much would
you do the day to get ready for this?
I used to run a hill, about 20, 25 times. And then basically just do four of the gassers every day. I know you got the conditioning test coming up, so that's all I did. If I didn't do anything else, if I didn't work on quick feet, if I didn't work in the sand, if I didn't do anything else that day I ran, just want to make sure I'm in shape.
Do you feel like it paid off today?
Yeah, I definitely did. I wasn't tired. Just getting back acclimated to the playbook and stuff like that, but definitely was in shape.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Well, they really wrote down some of those questions. That is a disrespect to Breland Speaks that Chad Henne took up that much time and those many questions.
You don't think Henne was just ready first?
I'm just saying the amount of questions that Henne got over. Here comes D Ford immediately coming through.
What did your body do? Did it do what you felt like you needed it to do?
Yeah, and I pretty much knew that, in the off season. Once we broke this past summer, I pretty much knew once I started training that, yeah, we're back in full form. So at this point, we're just progressively working each day. Don't want to, jump the gun. Even though I feel good, I still have to ease back into things.
He talks like he's wearing a black turtle.
How much does it help for you to have these couple days to ease into it before everybody else gets here later in the week?
It's very helpful because when you're training, you know, even when you're just training, it's different than being out on the field with the team. So to get that, to get these 2 days to really get back in the groove of things is, yeah, it's really good.
Do you take it as a vote of confidence that the team picked up your fifth year option?
Yeah. You said a vote of confidence?
Yeah, like, you know.
Like they're confident in me?
They have the option, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. I'm not complaining.
No, I'm sorry. Looking at the group of outside pass rushers you guys have this year, not talking about experience, production, but just ability, where does this year's group rank, do you think, compared to other groups you've been with since you've been here?
Potentially, we really have the potential to be a very good outside linebacker pass rusher.
Sound like you believe that? We really do.
We have a lot of young speed. Justin is he's starting to really go back to that 22 sack, you know, guy. So, you know, we really have a lot of we have an opportunity to be one of the best in the league, but we have to take that day by day.
You've kind of been where Breland
don't drop
is right now, trying to kind of learn how to do this. What's reasonable to expect from him this season?
Well, my expectations for him doesn't really matter. I think for him, I see his potential. I know what he can do. He's very talented. He's very talented, and he can really help us
being so careful
in the run game and the pass game. So, with the way the league is gone now, rotations are they are very important, especially with throwing the ball 60 plays a game, you know, so he can really help. So I don't really like, want to throw an expectation on what he can do. I know he can do it.
So you're coming along slowly back from your injury. How hard is it for you when your body feels good, you know you feel good, to know that you can't just go from 0 to 100, so you got to take it slow?
It's going to be very frustrating. I said that today. I told my coach that today. It's going to be very frustrating because I feel good, and once you get in the groove of things, you don't want to come out and you don't want to stop. And it's been a long time since I felt like that, you know. Go ahead.
Some guys have mentioned how injuries add motivation or can change motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Has any of that occurred for you? Has motivation changed or increased, or how has it shifted from, say, where you were last year?
Well, what he's going to say?
I'm always motivated, and it is extra motivation because coming off of back surgery, no one really expects you to be back to where you once were. It happened to me in college when I had my first back surgery, and I actually came back like a different animal, you know, so it's definitely good motivation. I'm just excited to be back in full form. It's been a long time since I felt, you know, normal.
Would you say that Tom Hinkley, Derek Johnson, Mark Hughes, has that kind of changed the dynamic for you guys on defense, and has the team asked you to kind of step in that role and be more of a leader on this defense? One of my goals is to morph into a leader, so
you know, I eventually wanted to be here. We don't really talk about it. Things just naturally happen. So in order for you to really become a leader, you have to really show it on the field first. And so I'm still on that stage, so I don't really like to designate myself as a leadership. I mean, we know what the expectations are, you know what I mean? So I want to meet those. And, you know, teams change every year. So losing, I'm going to miss them guys personally, but, you know, they told me a long time ago, this is the business. Guys are here today, going tomorrow. And, you know, personally, I'm going to miss them, but we got to keep rolling.
Okay, we got it.
You said a minute ago that Justin's kind of getting back to that 22 sack guy. How are you seeing that? What's he doing that leads you to say that?
Well, when you're coming off of an injury, people don't understand, like, how bad his injury was and how he also tried to play and he tried to come back too fast. So,
like you're not supposed to
you
be
know,
saying.
And he's not an excuse guy. You really got to respect that. And you could just see, you know, it's hard to come back off of an injury, you know, and people don't really understand it. you really don't really feel into it. That's why I'm so excited to be back in full form so fast, because you really, sometimes it might take 1 or 2 years, even though that guy's coming back and actually playing well. He might not be back to an elite level until like 2 or 3 years after the surgery. So I could just see that. I could just see he was really starting. And that's important, man, because knees are, that's hard. That's a hard deal, so.
Dean,
it's
going to be really frustrating you, for you with all the injuries.
Got that?
And how highly you view your own.
That's
potential.
D. Ford.
You view this year
dropping knowledge exclusively on 610 Sports Radio.
Yeah. So it's just a question. Yeah. I see it as an opportunity to bring everything together.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's seen flashes of what I can do. And this is the opportunity to really, you know, for 16 games. In order to be a great player, you have to be consistent. You can't just be good, I think, in my third year of those first 10 games or so before I got hurt. You know, everybody was just like, yeah, that's the guy we expected. You know what I mean? And then I got hurt.
Right.
You know what I mean? And showed flashes before I got hurt last year. But in order to be great, you have to be consistent. So I see that as in, this is time to put it all together.
The 6-game, 10-sack stretch, I know that you're talking about, that mm-hmm. wasn't a flash. That's
that was not a flash. As a player, it's important for you to learn how to be consistent beyond the skill. There's a lot of guys who are able to be skillful. You know, we're all guys, we're all the best athletes out here. Being consistent is almost like another skill. You know what I mean? What? So as you grow and mature, you understand that in order to be a great player, you can't just do it for 10 games. You have to do it for 16 games. And then next year, you got to do it again for 16 games. For a 10-year stretch, that's greatness. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and those are my personal expectations.
Would you say that at a full form, mm-hmm. was there something that you know, benchmarked, you reached, something that you were able to do, or something that let you know that you were back? I mean, how did you know that you, back fully after surgery and all that?
Training is very important. Being able to go to another level in your training. And I used to study Ray Lewis a lot. And his training told him a lot about, you know, training. What his body was. I listened to him a whole lot. And Mike Smith had a chance to really be around Ray. And he was a machine. And what you see on the field, that's not like he just wakes up one day and just like, he just naturally got it. You build yourself to that. And those are some hard workouts to do. A lot of people can't do them. You know, and that's what training, you feel those gears kick in when you're training. It's like, oh yeah, I feel it. Then you take it on to the field and you start to reap the benefits of that training. So it's very important for me to feel that when I'm training, because it's very intense, it's very hard, you know, to really feel that.
You said you have to kind of pace yourself when you know you don't want to go too much too fast. Mm-hmm. What are you telling yourself when you feel like you've hit that point when you need to back off?
I haven't hit that point yet. So it'll probably always be them telling me, all right, chill out. You know, so I haven't hit that point yet.
You mentioned earlier, D, that you said you feel so good now that it reminds you of a certain period. What when do you feel like you felt this good?
Year 3. When you're young, you always feel good. So it's like, so year 1, 2, and 1 and 2, I don't really count those because you're
right.
young.
Right.
But year 3, that's really when your body starts to mature and you really come into your own. For me, that's how I feel.
Yeah, right.
You know, so for me to be there, I know what that felt like in year 3. Things become very easy and getting results were very easy. So to have that feeling, I know what that feels like in my head, like when I'm training. So that's all I'm saying. So
wrap it up.
Thanks, guys.
Hey.
Thank y'all, man.
All right, thank you.
Good Lord. That was D. Ford, who I'm sure, I am positive, was dressed in a turtleneck while doing his interview with a sandwich that had Grey Poupon on it. Pepper Jack Grill, famous Philly text line. We'll do this every Monday. It's called Weekend Hugs. Text in who you felt like needed a hug this weekend. It could be personal. It could be sports. anything, entertainment, whatever. Weekend Hugs coming up.
Tomorrow, 12:45, show in Vern. If you want to know how to play the game so you can win Journey and Def Leppard tickets, you have to be able to name as many Monopoly pieces as possible.
All right, back at it. Hey, we're going to do Weekend Hugs, but we want to make sure this is right. This is the first episode of show in Vern, and we're gonna move Weekend Hugs because
we had to play Chad Henne.
D. Ford, I've never heard anyone who looks like they're wearing a turtleneck and has a glass of red wine while doing a press conference that I've ever seen in my life, but that is how he sounded. But we're going to move that back a little bit, but I'm really excited about this. You know it's our first show, Vern.
Yeah.
So we've got to do it big time. We've got to do it big time. So are we going to take a break first? Then we're going to do – all right, we're going to take a break first. We're going to take a quick break in about 2 minutes, about 11 o'clock. We're going to bring – the man in this town.
That's right.
The man, right? You know? Dayton Moore, your general manager, your everything for the Royals is coming up in 2 minutes.
Show and Vern from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.